Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Worst Pre-Made Ever podcast with myself, Alex, and we have our, regulars or acquaintances, We have Ellis.
Hello.
Gabby.
Hello.
Kath.
Hi.
And everyone's favourite, the main character.
Yeah, I've been doing finger guns for the last, 30 seconds.
You're a golden retriever, aren't you?
Yeah. What do you mean? I don't understand.
No, because
I'm working on having a bee here.
If we were all dogs,
yeah.
What would we be?
Well, golden retriever for me, obviously.
Golden retriever or Labrador for you?
Yep.
I'd be sitting very grumpy.
We established a while ago that Ellis would be a chihuahua.
Ellis would be a chihuahua.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing.
I know what you're
I'm laughing at the fucking document. Forgets to do the thing about where stuff is, so Nick highlights it all in fluorescent green.
No. I haven't forgotten. It's just Gabby started talking about dogs.
Well, I'm sorry, they're my favourite thing. Okay,
right, go on then, remind people that they can listen to it on Thingy.
Okay, you can listen to it on Thingy, Jake, shut up. So, remember, on this podcast, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcasting platforms, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Worst Pre-Made Ever Podcast, where you can see, it says our gorgeous faces, but you
can't.
Well,
this isn't scripted, is it? Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, but I got distracted because I got my flow f***ed by Gavi going on about Jake being a Labrador or whatever it was.
We're professionals. Look, I'm sorry.
On all regular podcasting platforms, there we are, and we're also on YouTube. Go check us out, because then you can see us f*** this up.
Yep.
Okay, there
Yay.
You go.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Right,
nailed
back
it.
To the dog
right, happy
conversations.
Nick,
Nick's doing a stellar job at producing this podcast.
Nick,
okay.
You replaced me last week.
That's because you couldn't be in.
That's because you weren't here.
That's not my fault.
Yeah, it is.
And it was better.
Nick just typed into the document there, and it was better. Nice.
Yeah, let's just comment on what Mike does again, because he loves that, doesn't he?
Being a savage.
Oh, God. All right, then, what's been going on? So, hang on. So, yeah, let's get back to this. Ellis would definitely be a chihuahua.
100% a chihuahua.
Really?
He's got big chihuahua energy.
No. In what way?
No.
He's angry.
No,
yeah, but chihuahuas just yap all the time, and Ellis says
they're really territorial. They're like really angry territorial. It's that one time we went on holiday with Nick and his wife up to Scotland, and I went to a dog cafe, and I thought it was just a dog cafe. It turns out it was a chihuahua cafe, like purely chihuahuas, and they were all dressed up in like Disney princess outfits.
It was a bit weird.
It was a bit weird.
You sure this wasn't like a weird fever dream?
Well, no, it felt like it. And it was so funny. I'll get the picture, but we went and there's these dogs and like they're really territorial. They're not the best for having a dog cafe. But Nick ended up lumped with the angriest chihuahua I've ever met in my life.
Oh, wow.
He was sitting there. It's that whole thing, I want to pet you because I respect you. And this little shit would not even let him move. Like, if he breathed, she would growl. And
oh, wow.
When you go in there, you're meant to get, like, a cake and a coffee. And so at this point, he couldn't even pat the dog. So he goes to lean forward just to drink his coffee, and it's like... And he's like... he's just staring at this dog for, like, half an hour. Oh. And then we left, and it was the weirdest experience. But, yeah, Ellis, big chihuahua
no,
energy.
No, he's not a chihuahua.
Oh, okay. Chihuahua.
Nick's just put a BuzzFeed quiz in. Maybe we could do that to discover what kind of dog you are.
Oh, should we?
Oh, my God, let's do it.
So everyone over and open up the link.
Okay, ready? So it's Friday night. What are your plans? The options are party time, a quick nightcap, sitting at home, another OK Cupid date. That's out of date now. Netflix binge, clubbing with, with an apostrophe.
Is that clubbing as in going to the clubs or seals?
That's what I thought. Just going out Friday night, gonna go down to the beach and club some seals.
Beat some seals. Peter would not be a fan of that.
Yeah, it's not club seals, Alex, okay? It's it's something else.
Oh, in that case, it's not that one then.
A hot photo shoot.
Or snoozing or dinner with your fab friends.
Oh, who actually writes these things? Who sits there?
BuzzFeed.
I know, but if you work for BuzzFeed, you sit there, you type it up, you look at your work, and that you think that's acceptable.
Okay, has everyone picked one? I'm gonna go.
I'm sad that they don't have an option for playing games.
I'm probably watching.
Yeah, I know, there was no option for playing games.
That's sitting at home.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna say sitting at home.
There's no option for furiously masturbating for Alex either.
Oh yeah, no, there is.
That's sitting at home.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
How would you describe your body? I don't think they have the option
small
for thick and bootylicious. Oh, they've got thick.
They got thick. Let's go thick.
Short and curvy, perfect. Muscular, very thin. Jersey Shore's Paulie D.
Who's that?
I literally never think about this.
I guess just like the middle of the bell curve average.
Yeah, there's balding for you, is there?
Ouch.
Dickhead.
Oh, you said balding. I thought you said bolding.
No, balding.
Oh my God.
Who the fuck is Jersey Shore's Paulie D?
I think that's you, Jake. I think that's the hairstyle you've got.
Are you Googling it?
Yeah.
I imagine they're probably orange.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that haircut.
That
Jake
haircut
energy.
Looks like you last week in that,
That is giving Jake energy.
You're younger.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go with Jersey Shore's Paulie D.
Yeah, because you are a wee bit.
Okay. Please.
Pick a colour. I reckon we pick the colour we are in WP.
No, that's not... But that's I pick black.
I mean, it helps that purple is my favourite colour and I am purple for WPE.
I'm picking red because I like the colour of blood.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right. It's going to be one of those podcasts, I see.
So the next one is, what would the name of your memoir be? So you've got Just Friends, a love story. Eat love and eat more.
That'd be yours.
Off. What the wank stain?
Jesus Alice. Christ, Alice. How to get divorced 101.
Running in circles. Dat ass.
That's Ellis.
That's probably me.
Or me.
How I learned to love myself.
That's Jake.
Yeah.
No. Life of the misunderstood hero.
That's Jake. Yeah.
I never win anything.
It's the next this one. Is life's so hard.
Don't mind if I do. And growing without roots.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I'm going to go for running in circles. I think that describes a lot of my life quite nicely.
I think that ass really does describe a lot of me.
I have no idea.
All right, what's your go-to dance move?
Whoa. I haven't finished in the memoir we've won yet. I don't know what to pick.
Oh, your one is definitely Just Friends, a love story.
I don't know. I think Alex would just be who me.
Yeah.
Who me?
There you go.
Giving that NPC energy.
Or dat ass.
Next one isn't what's your go-to dance move. It's what's your go-to zero dance move.
Yeah, put a zero to two. Classic BuzzFeed.
So you've got the shimmy.
Yeah.
Twerking.
Oh, yeah, that's me. All day.
Judging everyone from the corner.
Hello.
That's Ellis. The robot.
Yeah.
The chatter slide.
Oh,
that's Alex.
The shopping cart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
aggressive dude. Voguing, grinding, or all about the fist bump?
Oh,
pump.
Fist
that
pump.
Is okay. Definitely me, all about
Jake
the fist pump.
Jake is 100% the fist pump. Mm-hmm. Alex was 100% the cha-cha slide.
It's actually, I'd be judging everyone from the corner, but I am going to go cha-cha slide because the cha-cha slide is such an amazing
Move. It's got you energy. Kath, what are you thinking?
Is there a grindy one?
Yeah, there is grinding.
Grinding.
That's definitely.
Okay, because I know 100%.
Every time we go out and you get drunk in some club, you end up dropping on me. Without fail.
So we are talking, like, when was the last time we actually went clubbing? Probably, like, 2016?
Kath, you did it in the kitchen, like, 2 months ago.
But that's not going out, my guy.
It doesn't matter.
Ellis's vision of going out on a Friday is going to this kitchen after 8 p.m.
What were you going to pick, Kath?
Aggressive voguing.
What the hell is voguing?
I don't know what that is.
Voguing is where you do this.
That is also very you. Fair
okay. But aggressively. Right, okay, cool.
They don't have an option for a slow strip tease to the chicken dance here.
They do. It's just go with the shimmy then.
Okay, cool. Okay, yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay.
What kind of exercise do you prefer? Yeah, fuck you. What kind of exercise do you prefer? Yoga, throwing around a ball, sprints, whatever the hottest new trend is. Running around excitedly.
Sex! It's not an exercise.
Opening the door for delivery. I'm a gym rat.
I don't know.
Bonking.
Yeah.
What kind of exercise do you prefer? Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't prefer that?
You're definitely middle.
What? Ha ha ha.
No, but that implies that you don't want to exercise, but yeah, you do.
Oh, are you saying, but because my laugh is so aerobic that I get exercise?
Yeah, basically,
laughing.
Yeah.
Also, that would explain why I'm f***ing jacked.
Just want to point out, throwing around a ball really annoys me because it should be throwing a ball around.
Throwing around a ball, yeah, okay, all right. Well, this is BuzzFeed, Alex. They've stopped
I know, but I'm still
we're
not
going to
get the height of quality. Yeah.
Also, that awkward moment when the next section is pick an author and I don't recognize a single one of them.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to go with opening the door from delivery.
I guess I'm going to say gym
because that's what we do.
I'm going to change opening the door from delivery to opening the door for Deliveroo.
I've heard of Suzanne Collins, but I don't know what she wrote.
Yeah,
the options are Nicholas Sparks, Toni Morrison, Amiri. Oh my god, this is like ringing up Twitch donations, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amiri Baraka, Sylvia Plath, Isabel Allende. Susan Collins, I know who that is. The Internet, brackets, I don't read books. I think that's going to be
pretty much all of us.
Albert Camus or David Sedaris.
Which is a hot take, Gabby. I know who all of those are.
Really?
Yes. I don't know any of them are.
Well,
that was Jake who said that would be pretty much all of us, but...
I thought it was you. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, because I sound a lot like Jake.
Yeah. Obviously.
It was pretty much all of us.
Or do I sound a bit like Gabby?
I think it would be the Internet for me, even though I do read, but I don't know who the fuck any of these people
that's
are.
That's what I've picked as well, because I don't know any
Internet.
Of them.
Internet.
Right, next one. Which pop star do you identify with?
Where's the nun option?
Beyonce, Cher, Taylor Swift, Taylor Smith.
Fucking hell, dog.
That's like in an alternate universe where Taylor Swift is actually a guy.
Should I do all these as alternate universes?
No, we'll be here forever.
Taylor Smith, Batman, Rhiannon, Britney. Oh no, fuck
so
it.
Much yeah, can you for please a joke stop was not yeah, landing. Yeah. That joke was not landing.
I simply can't choose one because they're all shit.
I don't know. I guess I don't identify with any of them, but
I'm going to choose Cher for the memes.
See, yeah, I thought you'd have gone for Britney Spears' Toxic Era.
What, me?
No, Kath.
Oh.
Why?
I'm going to go for Britney Spears' Breakdown Era.
Ah, nice.
Okay, nice. Yeah, okay, good shout.
I might go for Selena Gomez because she had a couple of pop bangers that I used to get drunk to.
Okay, next one. Do you want to read this one out, Alice?
Biggest pet peeve is taking food off my plate, chatterboxes, pretentious people, pimple poppers, the patriarchy, being a meanie, chip nail polish, judgmental people, having pet peeves.
Oh, it's going to be the patriarchy. I can't stand them.
Yeah, they haven't released a good hit in ages.
Honestly, taking food off my plate. Get the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah. I really wish there was one that is like having your wife fill up your fridge with condiments that never get used.
Oh,
that's
I would.
An option.
Shut up! Dick!
I'd be clicking that so fucking hard.
How dare you call me out like that?
Chatterbox is my main one, then taking food would be the second.
Oh, so we get to answer for everyone on the next one.
Oh, do we?
Finally, how would your friends describe you?
There's no dick option, though.
Okay, do you want to start with Alex? How would you describe him?
Introverted.
Needy?
Oh, needy. Yeah, I can see needy.
Needy, yeah.
High maintenance.
High maintenance sounds about right.
Really? I think Alex is fairly capable of just, you know, gassing himself in his own room with his fart clouds.
In terms of when it comes to PR, etc., for me, he's high maintenance.
Yeah, but that's just because you need to get better at your job.
Get better at my job. I can't fucking control you.
Exactly.
You need to buy one of those vibrator collars. That's wherever he makes a bad thing.
I know. Shock him. Yeah.
That might be against the Geneva Convention, but
probably.
Fine.
But
I don't know. What should I do?
No, we choose for you, Jake.
Well, because the friends need to pick it.
I know, but it's how you think your friends would describe you rather than the friends
picking
you, right?
Right, okay.
Yeah. Oh, obviously.
I don't know.
Obviously funny.
No.
No.
I'm going to go funny because fuck you.
Ellis, what would you describe me as?
No, it's not. You, Ellis can't answer. It's what you think Ellis would describe. Would
I
think
don't
you
know
would
what
say.
You guys would describe me as.
Well, you have to guess.
There we go.
I got
my interesting.
Result.
Okay, I got my result.
Yeah, I got mine.
Has everyone picked their last one?
Okay, I've got my result.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got
we
mine.
We all get the same one.
It wouldn't surprise me.
What did you get, Gabby?
Okay, I got the pit bull.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Sure, you're pretty misunderstood, but once people get to know you, they realize how lovable you really are. It may take a second for you to warm up, but you're a goof once you do, not to mention you're loyal, sincere, and adaptable.
Oh.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it doesn't fit 100%, I don't think, but, you know.
I mean, it is BuzzFeed, so.
Yeah, what you expect.
It's not exactly like cold reading.
Let's be honest, say the only dog on this is going to be a pit bull.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got one different.
I got different.
Wait, what did you get?
What did I get? A corgi.
I got a corgi, okay.
So
I could see you having corgi energy.
So quite simply, you're a darling. People are mesmerized by your charismatic nature, but you never get too caught up in all that praise. You know how just to be you at all times without apology. Plus you have a cute tush.
Yeah, I mean,
true.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate.
I don't have an opinion on the last bit though. That's not my place.
Yep.
It is not my place to put an opinion on that.
I was also a pit bull. So we're a couple of pit bulls, Gabby, hanging out, doing pit bull things, sniffing each other's butts.
I got a Shiba Inu.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I mean, they are.
They can be assholes too.
You got the right one
you
there.
You sometimes get accused of being aloof, but you're just picky. You're an introvert. That doesn't mean you don't love socializing with your core group of friends and family. Plus, you can be very affectionate. Just on your own terms.
That's pretty accurate.
That is you. Yeah, yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah.
And Alex?
I got a pit bull as well.
Oh, did you?
Did you?
Pit bulls are us.
Yeah.
Mr. Worldwide.
I feel like pit bull actually kind of fits me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, little mama, what are you doing tonight?
Hey, little mama, let me whisper in your ear. Jesus Christ.
I
bet there are only three dogs to choose from as well.
He went through a phase at the beginning of the year. One of my mates got into the habit of just being like, hey, what are you doing tonight, girl? You listen to Pitbull? One of my mates was at like a gas station. She was like filling out the car, and someone came up to her and just started chatting to her and like asked for a number. And she's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And she unironically turned around and fully said to them, listening to Pitbull. And she just drove off.
Oh dear.
Well played.
You know. Oh, so I want people to find cases in their life where they can just insert that into the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Especially just the remix.
Especially to get out of awkward encounters as well. It's a great one.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, what did you do this weekend? Just hung out and listened to Pitbull.
Listen to Pitbull, man.
Picture that with a Kodak.
Oh, man. Okay, so Ellis, we had to stop the stream short earlier the other day because you had such a hilarious story to tell us about changing a toilet seat and erecting a mailbox. What's all this about then? What's going on?
I found that so funny. I couldn't stop laughing for the rest of the day.
Oh, God, that was good.
I was lying a bit.
The reason why I wanted to bring it up is because obviously you guys, Alex and Alex, what the fuck? Jesus, brain.
Come on, Brian.
Jake and Gabby are house hunting.
Yes.
And as you're house hunting, you might end up buying a previously rented out property.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first one that I've lived in or owned and had to do maintenance on.
It's not. The last place we lived in was rented as well.
It was empty for a very long time.
Yeah, though. It was vacant for a while.
Do you mean immediately after having tenants in
there? Yeah,
pretty much, yeah. So this has been empty for a few months, but had had tenants very recently. The last place had been empty for like a couple of years.
So it's like getting a pair of shoes in the charity shop and they're still warm.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The imprint of the previous owner is still in there.
Yeah. So some people will do like certain bits of maintenance and stuff before they sell. They'll, you know, change out fixtures and fixtures to make it look a bit nicer for pictures and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they'd done it mostly in this house, apart from one place, which is our downstairs toilet.
Right.
And I've changed many toilet seats before because they break over time. They're
no
cheap
need to
plastic.
Brag.
Yeah.
This experience was like nothing else.
Really?
So,
why?
First of all, you get under there, and if you've done it before, and if you have, then you'll understand. But if you haven't,
it's a pain in the dick.
There's basically two spikes that go through the bowl, usually plastic, and then there's nuts that are screwed on. You've got to unscrew those, and you can pull the entire thing off. So I get down, and they start unscrewing them, and they're sticky.
Oh, no.
Look underneath, and they're slightly yellowed. And I was this is pretty gross.
Oh,
but
no.
It's fine. I'll get it over and done with quick. It'll be fine.
Yellowed?
Yeah, yellowed. Yeah. So it was white plastic, and it had, like, gone a shady yellow.
Pissy yellow.
So I started unscrewing further. And as I did, I noticed, like, around the edges where the hinge bits were, like, sat on the toilet bowl, I could see little bits of orange underneath.
Oh, no.
I was like, what the fuck is all this? So finally get around to unscrewing it. Kat's in there with me to help me pull it off, because I'm obviously, like, at some weird angle in, like, underneath the toilet trying to, like, pull the screws off.
She's checking out your booty whilst
So I finally get the little tabs off, and we're starting to get a smell coming through.
Oh, no.
It's like sort of... like
piss.
Slight stale piss, but it's not too bad. It's just you tend to get a little bit of a waft of it, because, you know, there are splashes get underneath stuff, you know. It's neither here nor there.
I hate this story already.
Oh, it gets better. So we finally pull it off, and, like, it comes loose. Kath lifts it up in one motion, and underneath there is, like, a damp crust about I don't know, maybe 2-3 mil thick.
Oh my
of
god.
Of, like, stale orange urea crystals.
Oh my god.
The fucking smell was brutal. Like, actually, literally came out to, like,
oh my fucking god.
So bad.
Holy shit.
And of course,
disgusting.
And of course, the first thing that Kath does is waft the fucking toilet seat straight towards me. So, like, it ends up about a centimeter away from my nose, so I get a full fucking, like, beam of this smell in my face, like,
piss crystals.
I have never ever smelled anything like it. It was,
and then
God,
I was tick retching for a good 10 minutes afterwards.
Why did you waft it around?
Genuinely, probably 5 years worth of people's, like, crystallized piss under
that's
there.
That's so fucking disgusting.
It's fucking,
you know,
horrible.
What you can do with that is crush it up and snort it.
I think you'd probably die.
The idea of the word crystallized piss.
Yeah. Piss crystals. You
know, because crystals. It implies also that there must be some level of compression that formed crystallization from urine.
It's like diamonds in coal over 3,000 years of pressure.
So,
diamonds
that's what you guys might have to look forward to.
Well, I mean, we've been to a few houses at the moment, and we went to a house viewing yesterday, actually, and the house itself looked great. The reason we're not going to do anything about it is because the garden had 5 tiers to it. Tiers.
When you mentioned it was tiered, I thought I was expecting, like, you know, two or maybe three, but five is pretty
good. It was like a wedding cake.
How high?
Not even the story here. We basically went to the house viewing, and it was like, oh, this is nice. Yep, okay, let's have a look in the bathroom. Went into the bathroom. One of the tenants had literally taken a fresh hot loaf dump, just left the smell of it in the bathroom. So while you're walking around in this house that you're potentially thinking of buying, you're like, it is the smell of shit.
And, like, so it was us two and the
station.
Everyone in that room then has to pretend like there's not a hot fragrance stench going up everyone's nostrils.
And just like, so
oh, it's lovely in here. Lovely and light.
Eyes watering. Yeah, so
go in with the witch doctors. Big
you need, like,
mask next time that the plague doctor's mask.
Yeah.
A nose gary.
I don't know if, like, tenants do it on purpose as a protest about the house being sold, or people just don't care.
We went to
another house viewing, I think it was like a couple of weeks ago. You go inside, I don't know if you noticed this, Jake, but as we're, like, wandering around, we go into the bathroom once again, and someone has just left a floater with a bunch of shit on a toilet paper piece on the top, and then just didn't flush it. And
what the fuck is wrong
with I don't know
people?
About you guys, but, like, I am particular about my toilet usage, right? I have learned from a young age, it's like, if you take a shit, when you are done, you turn around and you check for smears.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a smear,
skitters.
You clean it up so the other person who goes in next time doesn't have to deal with your shit smeared all over the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot imagine. I just realized we're back talking about shit again on this podcast.
It's just going to happen.
25 minutes into it, nailed it.
I cannot imagine a world where we just, like, dump and then leave it?
No. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Our toilet upstairs is a bit ropey with the amount of like water that comes out, and it's at relatively low pressure. Sometimes stuff like doesn't always go down, and it takes a fucking age to refill. Mm-hmm. So if like one of us is awake and one of us is asleep, and like Cass like gone to the toilet and then gone back to bed, for example, and like not everything's gone down, she'll actually like just WhatsApp me quick and just go, just to warn you, it's done that thing again. Sorry.
Shit is cold.
We'll actually like message each other saying, you know, or warn each other, you know, yeah, I've got to go back up in a minute and double check it because, you know, it didn't work properly. Like, that's just common courtesy, isn't it, really?
Well, just to give us a warning.
Yeah.
You should have like a flash card, right? That like, as you put this toilet seat down, you leave, it's like a wet floor sign above the toilet seat saying, toilet did not flush. Like, there's a floater in the bowl type thing.
Yeah. Okay.
There might be something winking at you.
Mm. Yeah. We need to talk about Jake's parents' toilet.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
It is the worst fucking toilet. And shout out to your parents if your dad's listening, because he listened to one of the other ones.
Yeah, he listened to the one.
Fix your fucking toilet. I swear to God, I don't know what it is about that toilet. But, like, I one time we stayed at their house for a week. I'll happily tell them this. We stayed at their house for a week. I did not shit for a week. Because I was so afraid to use that toilet because it would not flush. It basically just goes... and it just smatters your poo with water. And then it just floats there. It's and like, unless there's some weird British technique to flushing toilets that I don't know about, it doesn't go away.
Their flush basically flushes the water around the entire bowl instead of going right down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have to like rev it, like, come on. And then eventually there'll be so much water there that it eventually flushes down.
I think, isn't that a Saniflow?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know.
I think there's a particular type of toilet.
All I know is that it's bad.
Is that French for fucked toilet?
it's a particular type of like... way of, I think it's the rotating water.
Oh, really? It doesn't work.
Yeah. No, Saniflows are the type of toilets they tend to stick in where, like, they struggle with getting the right amount of plumbing and piping and water pressure there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, context as well, it's the type of toilet that, let's say, if you go for a wee and you use some toilet paper just to clean up, it won't even flush the toilet paper from taking a piss.
Yeah. Just give it a shower.
How is it going to get, you know, the flow up enough to get rid of anything else? I don't understand it. So bad toilets are like one of my biggest pet peeves. Yeah. They're stressful.
My dad listened to the podcast. He listened to the first one. He listened to about 10 minutes in, and he listened to it. It was the one he just happened to listen to was the one where I was talking about punching him in the dick.
Excellent.
And then he had to be like, what's this about you punching me in the dick, Jake? then, that to explain to him what he did. But yeah, apparently he didn't remember it, it's fine. I got
it
away
can't have
with
been
it,
that traumatizing then.
Yeah, exactly.
It is funny, the podcast, or just like being a content creator in general, because like it's giving people in your life who actually know you access to you on a... like unfiltered scale. So like if you have an ex-partner, for example, who knows that you're a content creator and you're not in contact anymore, they could like still jump in and just watch you doing your thing.
Yeah.
Or friends that you don't chat to, you know, hey, I know you're watching. No.
Yeah. The thing is, I know that no one I know watches.
Yeah. Well, that's what my assumption is. You know,
no, they do.
Same here.
I get them talking to me about it all the time. Like Stu will regularly send me a text if there's something like particularly like funny about a video, he'll screenshot it and send it over to me. Like Jake fucked up the more than or less than symbol on a thumbnail, and I think the video had been out like less than a minute, and he sent me a text with the screen grab going, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah, I know exactly which video you're talking about.
Yes,
and it wasn't a more than or a less than sign.
It was a fucking arrow. It was an arrow pointing
it
to
the
thing.
It was very obviously an arrow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, Jake, you got your more than less than sign incorrect.
That's literally what he did.
And even if it was...
I said it was Skeletor. Can we just...
I mean, he could like well actually you on the weekend, because he's coming down on Saturday to put you guys down.
Well, I could well actually him in person then. Well, actually, Stu, if that is his real name.
Well, he... Man.
And also even if it's even if it was less than 420 miles an hour, right? If it was 419 miles an hour, it's still fast as fuck.
It's fast as fuck, boy.
Don't know what Skeletal sounds like, so this means nothing.
It's before your time.
It's all right.
He does that way too fucking well. Oh shit.
Well, actually. Maybe Skeletor is the original one, actually.
I think he probably is, too. He's like the original Adenoid's voice.
Oh, right. Okay.
Just watch that video really quickly in there of He-Man going, nyah.
Oh, yeah.
All of the resonance.
Oh, God.
That's the sound that Jake makes during sex. I'm going to fucking,
Oh, God.
Shout out to your parents if they're still watching.
Yeah. See that bit there? Forget that bit, that one.
I'm going to shift away from the shit and sex.
Can we go back to the shit?
Actually, no. I'm going to go to gaming shock horror because we haven't actually talked about video games at all.
Since the start of the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, you know, we leave that for the when we're playing them.
No,
that's
true. But this is more of a story.
You had a wholesome moment.
Recently. So most of you will probably have seen adverts for it or seen it on Steam or whatever, or know vaguely about it. But there's a game that is not actually new, but is kind of new, that came out on early access release on Steam called BattleBit Remastered.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I've been sort of doing some research on it, because what it actually is absolutely phenomenal for the price that it's offering, and the actual story behind how it's come to be is bananas.
Okay, so everyone settle down. It's now story time with us. Yeah. Go.
If I'm not blown away, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, well, if you're not, you have no soul.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be blown away.
Yeah, true.
I want some dramatics while you tell the story.
So BattleBit is actually, I mean, the reason why it's called Remastered is because they did a different another version of it, and it's been in development for 7 years.
By
most of the time by two people.
Yeah.
So their original idea was to create, they wanted to create like a mill sim, like squad type game, but that could run on a potato computer because they didn't have decent PCs.
Yeah.
And they basically built it with that sort of Robloxy, blocky looking graphics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that took them, it was 3 years, and they did the whole Patreon, you know, the usual thing that small devs do to like build up everything else. Yeah, yeah. And they put it out to let all the backers play it. And they all fucking hated it.
Oh no!
Yeah,
shit.
Everyone who played it hated it, and basically got to like a later on into the into sort of the week long sort of play test, and basically no one was playing it. So so
that must be soul destroying, hey.
Well, you'd think, but unlike every other person, and also looking at you AAA companies who never fucking learn, he went, right, this is not what people want. Therefore, I need to give them what they want. So. The reason why it's called Remastered, because that was the original BattleBit.
I see.
They
okay.
then reworked it from pretty much the ground up.
Yeah.
To be Battlefield 4.
Right.
Like, in its entirety, with all the guns, with all the unlocks, skins, you name it. They've got tanks, helicopters, jeeps, boats, jet skis. But it's also got a load of those hardcore mechanics that come from squad and things like that, like bandaging and reviving, dragging soldiers, changing sights, changing fire modes, all that sort of stuff. And they rebuilt that again from the ground up in the next 4 years, and then went into early access just now. I think it was that they dropped the price part of the way through the development because they wanted more people to be able to play it, which, I mean, if you don't think about that, they actually like literally went, we're going to decrease the price of this game so we can get more people to play it. Have you ever heard of another developer doing that? Release?
It's a clever thing to do, I guess.
No,
Once you get like a player base in there and it's all polished and all done when it is released, then you can actually, you know, if you wanted to, at least hike the price up a bit and then release it.
Yeah, they did the opposite.
The only time I've ever heard that is when games go free to play and then die because of shit.
Yeah, no, they did the exact opposite. In fact, after release, they then readjusted their prices again, in general, trending 20% downwards for other regions where money's like where the cost of a game's worth more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
They actually decreased the price again for people who couldn't afford it.
Oh, good.
To try and get people in to play it.
That's nuts, isn't it? Because yeah. like, because they've got it's got 38,000 very positive reviews on Steam at the moment.
Yeah.
So that means that they've at least netted. One second.
Here we go, Jake. Maths.
A lot. Yeah.
They've at least netted £500,000. Pounds just off the people that bought it and bothered to review it. So you can probably times that by like
quite
10.
A lot. Yeah,
yeah. And that's probably how much money they made.
Honestly, it's the epitome of game over graphics. I mean, look at it. Yeah. It looks like shit. Roblox.
Yeah,
but once you're playing,
yeah.
you don't care.
Yeah, it's
like,
really
you just completely ignore the fact that it looks like total ass because it's so much fun.
This is why I've always stood behind this. Like, the games that I have the most fun on are the ones that the graphics aren't as great and engaging. It's all about the gameplay loop. It's all about, like, being able to enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. And quite a lot of the time, I think, you know, the AAA devs do get bogged down in the graphics. Because it is fucking time-intensive making a game look realistic and look good. So, put that time into making the mechanics great, and then a lot more people will enjoy it.
Why can't they just have both? Like,
they really could, but it's shareholders want their money.
I know, but what I'm saying is, imagine if they just, you know,
took more time,
and just had an amazing gameplay with amazing graphics.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, but the fact that basically two devs made that, and the third dev they brought on was a 3D modeler. And that's it.
I love those types of stories. It's like Stardew Valley as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
it's that same sort of thing. Yeah,
which is Gabby's favorite game in the entire world.
And the best thing is that on release, BattleBit then overtook Battlefield 2042 for concurrent players, and I believe it is still higher.
That's
on concurrent players.
Not hard to do
than the latest Battlefield.
You're winning, son.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a bit of a.
It's really good though, because like it just breathes a fresh life into the games industry, because you end up with think about the games that we mainly play on the channel. Very rarely do we play triple A releases.
Yeah, true.
They're all usually indie games made by small teams, because the gameplay is generally better. As soon as you have a small dev team, probably that is crowdfunded. You don't have that shareholder pressure being like, fucking, where's our return on this investment?
Yeah.
Like, you better release it, and then they release it, and it's terrible. You don't get that, but it's like, you know, devs like this, Stardew developer, who you probably know the name of him.
Concerned Ape.
Yes.
Yeah.
You end up with the art form of the game being put first over the money side of things.
I mean, with like Stardew, it was interesting because his girlfriend essentially helped to fund him to make that game. Mm. She basically said, look, if this is your thing, commit to doing it. I'm going to help the both of us. And then it just so happened to take off amazingly well, and you know, now he's raking it in. And you know, props to him, and he's putting that back into creating an art form that he loves. And it's basically the way that I see it in terms of like the art direction of a game, especially, it's almost like someone's handwriting.
Yes,
you know, everyone's got a way that they write that is specific to them. Sure, it might be similar to someone else, but that is unique to you. And if you really like someone's way of writing, essentially, then you can see that across everything they do. It's like Ellis fucking hating Andrew Lloyd Webber the other week. You know, that's his handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And
is,
if you like it, which majority of people do, at least something along the way, then cool. Then you're down for it. And I see that a lot in when it comes to a lot of artistic choices made by big companies nowadays, that there's a fear of having unique handwriting.
Yeah, there's games by committee.
Yes. And it's like, oh, this is what everyone wants. Everyone wants to see these massive, realistic graphics, which, don't get me wrong, like, it's cool if you can do it. But if that's the focus of your game, I think that should be your focus. Make it look beautiful. Mm. Don't complicate the gameplay. Mm. Let people enjoy the world that you're building. And if you can do all of that in one game, cool. Power to you. It's going to take you like 10 years.
Well, there are a few games that manage it.
Definitely been some.
What games do manage it, do you think?
Red Dead 2.
Yeah. Battlefield 4 did back in the day when even though like it released being with the servers having problems and stuff, like at the time it was pretty extraordinary, like how it looked, how it played, the fact that you could like level, you know, an entire skyscraper and things like that. Mm. You know, that was pretty revolutionary, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think also it's the psychology behind games, because there's something that I can't remember where I saw it. It must have been on Reels or something like that. It just popped up about Stardew and why that game in particular is quite addicting to people. And it's not just, I mean, obviously for some people it's very stressful. It's the project management of that game. They find
Yes.
But for every noise that they've used in that game, the sound effects are all just like, pops that, like, when you're playing it, you, it's like, quick, as you pull up something, you get little tiny hits of dopamine every time you harvest a plant, whenever you do something. Like, the sound effects that they've used in that make you go, ding, ding.
Do they use the same sound effects for the sex in the game? Like,
what?
Someone has modded that in.
They have. You know, it's where I was going to go with, like, that. But I was like, do we want to go there?
Yeah, 100%.
Spitting in a spittoon.
It's a very wholesome game, and I don't know. I think previously I would have said another game was my favorite game, but over time,
that's taken the number one.
It's taken the number one because, I mean, tell me someone who, when they're not having a depressive episode, doesn't go in and play Stardew Valley again. Do you know what I mean? Like,
hello.
Yeah, but you guys aren't my target audience.
No, we're not.
No, and I mean, if you're having a depressive episode, chances are you're unaware that you're having a depressive episode.
Oh no, very aware.
No, yeah,
oh,
very
really?
Aware.
Okay, cool.
But I don't find Stardew
relaxing. Find it boring.
Yeah, I find it boring.
All it is farming. If I wanted to do that, I would play Farming Simulator.
Yeah,
but not with
right
all the
on.
Pops and the animals and the nice music.
But I don't get the drippy
and Abigail
pops.
Yeah, and you can get married.
It's kind of just
you can do all that in Skyrim, and there are dragons. Like, it's a bit.
You can live out all of your toxic values by marrying Shane if you want. You
know? I mean, I was going to say who's Shane, but I just don't care.
The people who know.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
I think, do you remember when we went to that YouTube summit? And one of the talks there, I can't remember who said it, so I won't name any names because in case I get it wrong. Hmm. But like, they're basically saying, because of the economic situation that we're in at the moment, game developers, and you were talking like mid-tier to maybe the AAA ones as well, basically now won't take risks on experimental game design because so I don't know what that means for like the games industry during this economic crisis for the next couple of years, because we just got out of one with COVID. Now all these amazing games are coming out, and then we're probably going to go into another game slump over the next kind of couple of years with very, very safe games that are just
To be honest, I don't think we've come out of COVID with the games industry, and I'll tell you for why. It's the same thing that you're seeing with music right now.
Yeah.
So I personally am excited for, in a maybe about like 2 to 4 years time, where a lot of what's happened over the past few years has brewed. People have gone through what they need to go through in terms of processing that, and then writing songs reflecting a lot of the shit that's happened over the past few years. We are still in a recovery mode, and I think the same thing can be said when it comes to games, except it's on a much grander scale in some ways, because it's about production. It involves so many more people. Mm. So unless you have people in a financial position to then create these little indie games, and not only that, but the emotional space to be creative enough to come up with the concepts for those games, usually that creativity is born out of a time of initially there's a bit of stress, right, and something bad happens that means you can't do it, but then you have ideas and then you pursue them. But at the moment there's just been this massive fallout, the initial fallout from COVID causing the games to just grind to a stop. Then everything started picking back up with production, and now we're getting into this period of like, cool, we've got more games, but it's all like, we'll play it safe because everything is too financially fucked. Yeah. When things start to come back down, and it's the same with the housing market, obviously this is all in my opinion.
Citation needed.
Exactly. I have the feeling that hopefully we should see more stuff happening. Usually after any period of crisis, after a while, it is followed by a period of creativity, growth, and I'm not going to say stability, but there's kind of like usually like a lash out, I think, of trying to get more like freedom back. It's like what happened in the 60s, right?
Yeah, it's peaks and trough. trust for the rest of humanity forever, basically.
I think you're partially right on the smaller scale and the medium scale, but I don't think we're ever going to see the types of creative AAA games again, ever.
Oh.
Because the budgets that they are spending on these games are insane.
Yeah.
Horizon Forbidden West, £200,000 £200 million
Fuck, that's cheap.
It's costing as much as a blockbuster film to produce.
And
that's not including advertising.
It's amazing that they have all that money and yet they decide that they'll fix the game once they've released it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
£200 million
I think it was like
just that mentality of fixing the game after it's been released instead of, you know, having a game ready to go. Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's buggy. We'll just patch it.
Do you remember back in the day, right, when you had to like actually go out to like electronics boutique or something and buy a disc of a game? Mm-hmm. Like, and there's no such thing as the internet, so you couldn't ship a game that wasn't finished.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And then now suddenly, but they were still AAA titles back in the day.
Yeah.
But
now
suddenly,
yeah, because there was no way to patch it afterwards because it was, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, they had to basically deliver on release day a fully finished game that will be remembered for many people.
The games industry, when you think about it, has become fast food of games because it's, you know, it's basically mass produced now. Not great quality, really, because they do it, fix it all later. Not saying that McDonald's, like, or any other. When you buy it, they come around your house to fix
it.
I think you're really right, because it's shoveling out, and it's not only that, but it's the same types of games as well that are shoveled out, and sequel.
Oh my God.
You know, if you're making a shooter, your shooter has to be like Battlefield, or it has to be like Call of Duty. And
it's not many.
I think
it
is just it's the downside of instant gratification.
Yes,
and it's you know, we're streaming everything, we've got everything interconnected, and the downside of that is that we're actually suffering when it comes to being able to take the time it needs to creatively make something. And I saw a video, I think it was it Matt Damon of all people, was talking about the film industry, and a similar thing seems to be happening, which is like he was basically saying that back in the day they could make a movie. And then they would produce it and it would go on to DVD. So if it didn't perform well in the theatre, they knew that they could recoup some of that cost through the sales of the DVDs. Mm. So you had a lot more people doing weird and creative projects and things that you wouldn't, like, you know, I can't even remember the name of the movie, so we'll just forget it. But movies that are like a lot more poetic, weird, because they know that they could potentially recoup some of the costs. You can take the risk. Now, it's all just basically movies straight to streaming.
Yeah.
And the return that you see on that is very small. So now it's just we are only going to do what we know people will watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a loss in that, I feel.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Massively inflated budgets again. That's the biggest problem at the moment. Everyone's inflating their budgets. So I think it might be the new Indiana Jones film. Don't quote me on that. But I believe it needed to be profitable. It needed to make £1 billion.
Wow. That's insane.
Well, it's the same for things like, I know Avatar, the second one that they made, Way of Water or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Unless it became the top grossing movie of all time, unless it beat the previous Avatar, wouldn't break even.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah.
But because it's an amazing film.
A lot of these films now are half a bill, to produce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 500 million. And the average is that you spend half of your production budget on advertising.
Yep.
So you're at 750 mil already.
Yep.
And you haven't even got to a reduction of the money that comes in, because obviously you have ticket sales from cinema.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't get all of that because you lose bits of it from the theatre takes a cut, the licenses take a cut, the people who distribute the actual film reel take a cut.
Yeah.
So the amount of money you actually have to make and the amount of people that have to see big blockbuster Hollywood films now is just out of this world. And so none of them are profitable.
Yeah.
So Avatar didn't make it, actually. It's third.
Yeah.
Oh,
Avatar is still the top.
Yeah. Oh, the OG.
And what's number two?
Avengers Endgame.
Oh, okay. I can see that. Not because
the only one not from a franchise in the... the only one not from a franchise in the top 10 is Titanic.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I would say Lion King. That's technically a franchise now.
Yeah, it is now, yeah.
Yeah. I guess... Disney. the issue, because me and Gabby went to a relative's wedding, and I won't disclose who this is, but basically it's someone who's works for a AAA games company, is relatively high up in there, and they were basically saying that a lot of, like, it's for every game that gets released, there's probably about two or three games that make it halfway through the production cycle, and no one ever sees the light of, it doesn't ever see the light of day, basically.
It's not even shelved, it's just canned.
It's just absolutely canned, because they're thinking, okay, this might be too high of risk, we're probably not going to see our money back on this one, or they're running into development problems. Mm-hmm. They were saying, basically, that it's a miracle that games actually do, or that have big budgets and the AAA releases, what we would class as AAA releases, it's a miracle that they do actually get released
in the first place. Yeah.
The amount of moving components in a game is astronomically large. Mm-hmm.
And you tend to have multiple studios as well quite often on these bigger games. Now, like five or six different studios and outsourcing, you know, as like Malaysia, India, China for like animation and stuff like that. It's bananas.
It's not surprising, honestly. It's as disappointing as it can be sometimes as a consumer. It's not surprising sometimes when you do hear information like that and you think, like, shit, like, no wonder the amount of games that are being released these days that are unfinished in quotation marks, because they have no choice. they have to.
Yeah. Well, another thing on that as well was the fact that, like, when we were talking about it, it turns out, I mean, we get annoyed at the developers and the publishers about everything because they're essentially the front men of this whole thing. But half the time, it's not them; it's the stakeholders. You know, and so, like, it's like, hey, screw you, blah blah blah. You messed this up. Yeah. When in reality, you know, you've got the teams who are developing everything, but then those teams have managers. That manager has a manager who has another manager who then reports to someone who reports to the stakeholders. Like, the stakeholders are so far removed from the process that along the way, the amount of information that has to be shared then gets absolutely butchered at the end of it, which is why these big titles can sometimes be absolutely fucking scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, but then you have games like Hades, small team, communication is as good as I can imagine it could be within a games, you know, developing company. And it just came out so well. Like, they hit the nail on the head with that game, but it took them trial and error with all their other games that they did previously to accomplish what they did with that game.
It is the same.
Plus Thigh Daddy. Can we just talk about Thigh-nisis? Ooh.
I think what you need is what you need is to help that problem is stakeholders that actually give a shit.
Yeah.
And you only get stakeholders that give a shit when you have a three-man team, for example, like BattleBit Remastered, or like Stardew, who are very, very small teams, who the stakeholders essentially are the developers.
Yeah.
And they're not going to release something which isn't finished, or unless they absolutely have to, they won't do that. Yeah. Maybe they'll go on early access
or
to recoup some of the costs to continue development. But a lot of the time, They'll care about it.
Yeah. And you have to specifically set up your company where you allow private investment, but you make it plain that they have literally no.
Yeah.
I think you could write into a contract and say you have no say in the creative output.
Yes.
And then point you're more investing in the staff at the company rather than the company itself, because you're investing in their creative talent to put out successful. It'd be like, sponsoring an artist.
Yeah. I guess the problem is they look at it as an investment, like a money-making machine.
Exactly.
And as soon as you do that, you have what's called rate of return?
Yeah, rate on return. Or rate of return or whatever, yeah.
And you want to see your money come back to you if you're putting money in. And that, unfortunately, will put time pressure on whatever it is that your investment is in, because they'll want to see that rate of return come back to them.
Mm. You've also got to one-up yourself every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always got to be bigger.
You've always got to be bigger, always got to be better, because you always got to make more money.
Well, that's just like the YouTube tier list for videos, isn't it? It's that fear every week when you upload something that you're like, I want this to be number one in terms of views and all that. And then you just have to sit there and cry as you watch it only perform at like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You know, and it has to happen, because the reality is not every single release that you have or thing that you make will be the best thing. Because otherwise there's no such thing. Like, and this accounts for anything that you do, like painting, drawing, playing a musical instrument. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be shit
So there is such a thing as being good.
Yeah.
Perpetual growth is not possible.
It doesn't
No matter
exist.
Who tells you, like economic it's, or creativity,
yeah.
perpetual growth is not impossible.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a good... It's both sneaky and good what YouTube have done with that metric. Basically, for people that don't know, you go into the back end of YouTube, you basically get given a little tab on your dashboard that says, this is how your latest video is reviewing. It will then compare its performance to the last previous 10 videos that you've released. So you basically obviously want to be like 1 out of 10, because that's the highest it can go, i.e. that this is the best video that's performed so well compared to your last 10 videos. And then it's really disheartening when you get like a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. Mm. But then like... if you look at like where your channel was like a year ago, an 8 out of 10 now would be like a 1 out of 10 back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for creators to kind of forget that and
get stuck into the analytics too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which kind of will limit their creativity and only add stress. Mm-hmm.
I wish I was better at this, but understanding statistics and analytics,
yeah.
I think it's a really important skill.
Yes.
Because when someone says to you, 9 out of 10 people die who eat bacon, and then you freak out and go, oh my god, I'm never eating bacon again. But what that doesn't take into account for is like, what other underlying health conditions did those people have? Like, yeah. you know, what was the background? Were they smokers? Like, yeah. you know, where did they live?
The most important thing to know about stats is confirmation bias.
Yes.
Confirmation bias is such an important thing. Also. The best example I can give is a really old one. Back when, you know, major stats like this became sort of people were actually looking at the numbers. And it's World War I. At the start, no one had helmets.
Yeah. Right.
Everyone wore cloth caps. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's lots of artillery.
Mm-hmm.
So loads of people were being killed by head injuries.
Yeah.
So they issued helmets. The amount of reported head injuries of troops going back to the aid stations and stuff skyrocketed. And of course, there were calls to say, well, we need to get rid of these helmets then. They're obviously injuring our troops. Not thinking, of course, that the reason why these head injuries are being reported
right?
is because they're fucking alive.
Yeah.
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 So
okay.
did they get rid of the helmets then, or did they keep them?
No, they kept them, because someone clocked actually, no, this is confirmation bias. It's not the fact that there are more injuries, it's that the people who were being killed are now surviving with a neck injury.
Yeah. And how many, like, Gabby, your example, 9 out of 10 people that eat bacon die. Yeah, that could have been like 20 people surveyed.
I can guarantee
I don't know how you survey a dead person.
I can guarantee that statistic is wrong, because it's 10 out of 10 people who eat bacon will
because everyone dies.
But that is the same stat. That
the
stat
worst
can be
example.
Applied to literally everything.
Exactly.
100%.
10 out of 10 vegans will die. 10 out of 10 smokers will die.
10 out of 10 people who breathe oxygen will die.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know,
I must not breathe oxygen.
It's killing us.
There's a really cool video that came up of as a teacher doing a class on confirmation bias. They use a World War II plane to show it, because they came back, they'd label where all the damage was
on
the planes, and they said, where should they put extra armor? And all the sort of kids stroke young adults are like, well, obviously where it's been shot. And you're like, well, no, because those are the planes that returned.
Yeah.
If they've made it back, there's enough armor there.
Yeah, that
armor's
safe. Because
they've made it back safely. The bits where they haven't been shot are the bits where if you get shot there, your plane gets shot down or your pilot dies, so it crashes.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's really weird when you think about it.
It's like linear thinking as well.
It's
just being able to see things beyond what information has originally been given to you. And I think that's really important, but I'm not as good at it as what I would like to be. It's an important skill.
It's definitely worth learning.
Yeah. Should we slide into the DMs?
Before we go there, I was just going to slide back all the way to Thigh Daddy.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Speaking of Thigh Daddy, can we just have a moment to appreciate the Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg fight?
Absolutely.
Are any of them... trying to be Thigh Daddy?
Who is the Thigh Daddy out of these two? I was going to say.
I don't know. Whoever has the biggest thighs, it's a segue.
I have a genuine question about all this stuff.
Yeah.
Why has this become a thing?
No, before we go into that, the biggest thing about this I think people need to know is not the fact they've decided to have a cage fight. It's the fact that they were offered to do it in the Colosseum.
Wow.
Really? What, in Rome?
No, that's insane.
What I love it. You're shitting
yes.
me.
Yes.
So they were, and they didn't agree to that?
No, I think there was a thing that they couldn't do it. There's no way that that would ever be allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
I'd be surprised.
I read somewhere that they were offered to have the fight, their cage fight. But to be fair, it's in the news, Ellis, and I can tell you for why. Because who doesn't want to see a lizard fight a robot?
I mean, that's very fair.
That's so
I mean,
true.
Genuinely baffling. Elon Musk looks like a supervillain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They both do.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg barely looks human.
Yeah. I just read that. Let's put our bets on who's going to win this.
Hold on. Nick just said the Colosseum thing apparently wasn't true. The Italian government had to come out and say it wasn't true.
Oh, right.
I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised. I know.
Vero.
I know they've been having problems with the undercrofts getting weaker. Yeah. The thing that the floor sits on in the Colosseum.
And there was guy that vandalised it.
Yes, yeah, there was. Mm. That's true, yeah.
He wrote his girlfriend's name.
Oh, no, what a
tosser.
Scratched it
in. But they know who he is, and he's been caught.
Oh, has he? Good.
My bet is on Zuckerberg, right? Because if you go scroll down to the bottom of this article that I just found, Musk said, I almost never work out except for picking my kids up in the air and throwing them. Wait, hang on, I read that out wrong.
What?
Is he just caber tossing his kids?
Yeah.
Go into space.
Honey, get the bagpipes ready.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the other hand, Zuckerberg won 2 gold and silver medals in his first jiu-jitsu tournament. Like, who the fuck's going to win that? It's clearly going to be Zuckerberg if there's
I don't
fight,
know.
Right?
That's what they want you to think.
Oh,
and then
really?
I think Elon will pull it out the back. He'll be like, oh, I don't work out. And then he's been secretly training his body under extreme circumstances.
He is training with
I think
MMA
age
fighter,
is going to take effect
yeah.
as well.
Age yeah, I mean, there's a 20-year age gap between yeah. them. Like,
I know, I still don't understand why this sudden obsession with people fighting each other and biting.
Oh, no, me either.
Is it for charity, at least?
No.
Just for a fucking laugh,
you know what it feels like? It feels like going back to, you know, macho culture of, oh, fucking, I'll fucking beat you up, bro. Yeah, look at me, I'm big gorilla man.
I don't know, because
these
guys,
about it, yeah.
These guys, as much as Musk is a jackass, and they're both extraordinary people, right? Which would indicate some level of intelligence, I would argue.
Mm.
I don't know if they fall into that macho trapness. I think they've become self-aware. They've then said, we are like essentially two massive nerds, and it would be really funny to have two massive nerds in a cage fight.
It's not like that. That is, what's happened, apparently they've clashed for years, and basically Zuckerberg said that Twitter was not run sanely, which annoyed Mr. Musk, leading to the two men offering each other out for a cage fight.
Yeah, it's
because
just,
he said he doesn't know how to run
my dick's
Twitter,
bigger yeah, than your
it's
dick!
It's pathetic macho bollocks.
Okay. Yeah.
Basically what that is.
I hate it.
It's billionaires being...
Yes.
We should cover it when it happens and do our own commentary on top of it. Can you can you imagine?
Are we going to do the
let's
two,
do a couple of Reddit comments.
Yeah, let's do it. Hop over to our new Reddit comments.
So there's a
section.
Couple that came through, and one of them is specific to Jake and I, but I think we could also cover this and what you guys would prefer.
Yeah.
If we're in the same situation. Someone has titled this, If I Bump Into You. I live near Bath and I travel there quite a lot for work and leisure. If I see you two, brackets Jonk and Gabby, walking around, should I... A, scream with joy and point. B, stalk you for the day.
No.
C, offer a biscuit. D, come up and say hello.
Yeah.
Or E, just be happy I spotted you in the wild. Now you're getting more popular than ever. Mm. Yeah. Wondered what your ideal fan interaction would be. I mean, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah, Jake and I live in a silly place called Bath.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
ridiculous name.
Sorry, what's your actual address? Can we let me know?
So it's number 10.
It's number 1 Royal Crescent. Don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's quite a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I've had 2 of these happen.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I've had D and D happen to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
D, do it.
I guess,
come up and say hello.
Yeah, it's all right.
E is fine if you don't tell us afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
If you tell us afterwards... That gets towards B.
And don't
if you go, I saw you earlier, but I didn't come and say hello. That's
and then I followed you home. No,
well, not even that. Just the fact that you know that, like, it puts you on edge because you're always sat there like thinking, is someone actually like looking at me and just not saying anything? Like please.
We've had comments of people being like, oh, I just saw Kath and Alice walk past our school. And I'm like, oh. Cool. And then we also had another one of some guy saying he'd served us a drink in a bar.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
And then, but then saying afterwards and not saying anything whilst they were there.
Yeah. Just say hi.
Yeah.
We're not going to take offense.
Don't do A. Why would don't do A? That's weird.
What's that? Scream with joy and point. Yeah.
I don't know that one of the people literally screamed, Alice! Like from across the other side of the club where we were.
Yeah.
Don't do B because Viet Yum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say Viet Yum?
You weren't there, man.
You weren't there, man.
God damn.
C is an interesting. Offer a biscuit.
I mean,
if you've got biscuits, yeah.
I always feel really awkward.
Maybe
though,
do D
like,
then C. Don't
randomly go biscuits. Recognised twice at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I am always worried that when I go out in public, that will be the first time I ever get recognised. And half the time I look like shit. And I'm concerned
I'm with
about
you on that.
Like, I'm looking like a big foot. And then someone's like, Gabby. And I'm like, you know, because you had someone want to take a picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was
you look like a big toe, leave
which,
me alone.
Like, it's my insecurities that I need to work through there because I know it shouldn't be about that. It should be about the other person feeling happy that they got to... say hi.
You just gotta shunt it completely out of your head and just go, this is for this. It's for them, not for you.
Yes.
Gabby. Yeah. It's for the greater good.
Yeah.
It's for the greater good. Good. Lord. But yeah, so if it does happen, just come up and say hi.
Yeah, I think exactly.
Don't be weird about it.
Either do it or don't.
I think I'm the only person who hasn't had it yet. So I don't think anyone knows what I look like.
No, I haven't had it yet either, Alex.
I thought you had it with Jake. I thought you.
No, someone recognised Jake, and I just stood there awkwardly because they didn't recognise me.
Yeah.
Oh, which is fair because I'm not on camera much. Like I can't expect.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I think. So now the second half of that question. Now you're getting more popular than ever. Where would your ideal fan interaction be? Anywhere really.
It's not
like
Jake,
I would say.
It says what, not where.
What would your
what?
Ideal?
Yeah, we just answered the question.
Oh, I see. I would add on to that. If you see me at the gym, don't come and talk to me.
Yeah, that's a point. Yeah,
I'm in the zone.
Yeah, you know, like if Kath and I are in fucking like Ann Summers or something. That's not the place to have a little chin wag, you know.
Oh, you're also buying the or destroyer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah,
a real
exactly.
good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can recommend this one.
Yeah, you know that's probably a bad idea.
Centre Park's Mini Rapids, good place.
The only place not to do it is when I'm on the motorway. Don't like just stop.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah,
in
yeah.
your own house. Motorway. I mean, like,
don't break down the door in a public toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did have a little scare where we got Deliveroo ordered a couple of days ago, and someone like, did they ask if they knew you?
Oh, he said, "Hey, have I served you before? I recognize you." I'm like, nope.
I'm pretty sure one of our regular Tesco guys knows who we are.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he says my name a lot.
Oh, really? It has your name on the order, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, but he's like, all right, Kath, da, da, da. Oh, yeah, 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 Kath. And I'm like,
he might just be friendly and he knows
I think he's
your
probably
name.
Just being nice,
does
dude.
He know? Does he?
Yeah,
know?
But that's the problem. You never know.
Yeah, you never
you?
Know. Yeah.
And so then it got weird because the dude who was like, oh, have I served you before? Then stood outside the house for a bit. And that was kind of creepy.
It was on the phone to his mate. They're always like delivery drivers. Always on the phone to his mate.
Yeah, but it was like awkward because we wanted to talk about what had just happened.
Oh yeah,
and he was like
the
window was open and he was just like shuffling outside. And we were like,
you're not all going into a different room.
Yeah.
No,
because it was a living room, mate.
Yeah. Oh, you can only talk to each other in the living room. Once you go into the kitchen,
silence.
So yeah, thank you for that. For that message there. If you do want to get in touch with us and ask us any bullshit questions, the bullshit problems you might have, or if you just fancy getting in touch and saying hello and give us like I forgot what I was going to say.
So it was content,
put it on the flare on Reddit. There's a podcast flare. Yeah. Use that. We'll read it.
Use the podcast flare.
I want to speed through this last one because it's something really important.
Okay.
I'm going to TLDR this comment very quickly because we've got a couple of minutes left. So the TLDR is someone is post-20s and is wanting to get into art, but because of the modern day trend of, you know, you look through Twitter, Instagram, whatever, they're always seeing people who are amazing and they want to be like good at it instantaneously.
Yeah.
And they're not really sure if it's like the right thing, right hobby for them to do, or how to motivate yourself to, and more importantly, how to motivate yourself to do it even when you don't really want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will instantly put in that if you're having to try and motivate yourself when you don't really want to, it means you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I think a hobby is something that you would do for like literally just yourself. Like exactly. Don't even worry about what other people are going to think.
I don't know exactly. If I agree with that.
Oh, you don't think?
No, what Ella said.
Oh, okay.
I think on some level, when you boil it down, there is a part of you that is resisting it.
Mm.
But you have to ask yourself why you don't want to do it in the first place. And is that actually, I don't want to do that? Or have you convinced yourself not to start because you're already afraid of failure?
Yep.
Are you here
that's fair.
Are you here to be good? Or are you here
for good
to
time.
Enjoy the process of getting better?
Yes.
And so like... there's an element of truth to what you're saying. If you know that you don't want to start, ask yourself why, and you have to be brutally honest. Yep. No matter how much you lie to yourself and tell yourself, oh, it's because of this reason, you have to really come back down to and go, okay, it's because of X, Y, Z. Yep. For example, I just started singing lessons about a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life, I always wanted to be able to sing. Convinced myself that I never would because I believed that singing was a talent-based thing. You either could or you couldn't. After starting lessons and figuring out what that was about, it turns out that's not necessarily true. There's a base level of, like, timbre that you have to your voice.
Yeah,
can't
help.
Change your voice.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the more you practice, the better you're going to get at something.
Tis still an instrument.
Yeah. And I'm, what, 29? So I was, 28 when I started. Yeah. Just do it.
Don't be afraid about picking up a new hobby, but also equally, like, if you really don't want to do something, and like you said, if you sit there and think about it and you can't think, if there's no reason why that you don't want to do it, like you're not scared of failing or whatever, but you're just like, I just don't want to do this.
Yeah.
That's the sign to not do it. And it works the same
truly
with
that.
Games, okay. TV series, all that sort of thing. If you watch it and you're like, and if you're having to go convince yourself to go back to play something, to finish it, you don't want to. Just drop it and move on, and you'll find something you'll enjoy more. Yeah. It's far more important than wasting your time, you know, fucking headbutting your way through something that you just don't enjoy.
The question is, do you feel obliged to do the thing?
Mm.
And if you
feel
obliged and you don't want it as well,
don't do it.
A thing I think I'd add to that as well, though, is if you're looking at getting into art, like I do a lot of different types of art-based activities, like, have you thought about like the fact that, you know, you could literally get a piece of paper and a pencil and just start doodling? Like, there are so many apps and YouTube things out these days that will give you drawing prompts and doodling prompts and things like that. So it'll give you like a theme or an object, or like, you know, it'll just run. I've got a few on my phone, so it'll randomly give me like a topic and then like a season, and then like to go through it that way. Mm-hmm. You don't need expensive gear to start doing art, and it also depends on what type of art you're wanting to do. Like, if that's like painting, there are so many different types of paints. You've got gouache, you've got watercolor, you've got acrylics, you've got like oils.
They're talking
and
about digital
and stuff.
Drawing, by the way.
Oh, they're talking about digital drawing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
okay, start with, if you want to have a go at the way that I did it anyway, if you want to have a go at digital drawing, get a Intuos Wacom tablet. They're usually about £40. You can literally just plug it into your PC, or I think some of them even work via tablet these days. You can get some, if you've got a good enough like tablet, you can use it with that. And just see how you feel with it. I had one of those for probably about 10 years before I went and got a display tablet and started going at it that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're not instantly going to be good. It's also a very different way of drawing to pen, paper.
Pen and paper is completely different.
Mm.
Hot take as well, just real quick. Copy people. Mm. Copy people.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Find what you like, trace it, copy it, look at what you like about it, put it to the side. Don't go showing people.
To pass it off as your own work.
Don't claim it as your own work. Don't do that. Copy it. Recreate it. Take elements that you like from it. Do it again with someone else. And keep doing it. And over and over and over again, you'll build up your own handwriting that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, you'll get your style.
Yeah. Nothing is just its own thing.
And I think as well, just on a... this is more of a philosophical point about art in itself. You want to be like good at art, right? Or good at drawing or doing whatever.
Yeah, super,
there's
super
no,
subjective.
There's basically no such thing. It's such a subjective topic.
Yeah.
It's only good because society tells you that these people that you're seeing on Instagram or wherever, their art is good. Mm-hmm. I would flip that thinking on its head and be like, okay, like it, my drawings might not be the same as theirs. Society says that that is good, but like, do you want to do something similar, or do you want to break mm-hmm. off and do your own art style? Because the thing is, art is a complete spectrum from everything from what society says is good right mm-hmm. up towards the anything that anyone can ever create with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, smearing shit on a wall in the shape of the Mona Lisa is considered art, as well as doing a really intricate detailed digital art piece. So like, it's more about, I would focus on the self-expression side of it, use it as an extension 100%. Of your consciousness, and also then you will find fulfillment within that.
It's a good place to start.
Rather than comparing it to other people's and then not being good enough to want to continue doing it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think because like, ask yourself too, just to wrap this up, who your art has meaning to. Who are you doing it for?
Yeah.
And that can just, I mean, this is about art, but it could be like according to like any skill that you've got here.
Anything,
because if you have a kid and they come to you and it's like, mommy, your picture looks like shit.
Yeah,
it looks like dog
it's shit.
It's fucking shit. That to you could mean the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because your kid did the thing and you're going to treasure that for the rest of your life, right? So like, who does your art have meaning to? Who does that skill have meaning to? Me learning to sing, it's got meaning to me, but it also has meaning to these guys when I can fuck them off. And obviously, I don't actually use real singing when I'm on WP.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, she doing weird shit with my voice just to piss everyone off. Like, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can you use that skill outside its standard thing?
So yeah, that's a lot of points to consider. We could go into this. Maybe we should have another podcast on the
bit
arts,
philosophical.
The arts and philosophy.
Alex
has sold what little like stringes of his soul are left, just like slowly evaporating.
No, it's just that I've been sat here and for the past like 10 minutes I've been thinking Kath looks like a wrestling referee.
Oh, what, because the top?
Yeah.
Isn't it the wrong way around?
And in the red corner, it's Elon Musk. And in the blue corner, it's the lizard man himself, Mark Zuckerberg.
So is Elon Musk the robot?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right, then, let's finish up here, shall we? Thanks. Oh, did anyone want to finish? Who started it?
Alex, I think it should be Alex, yeah.
Yeah, you got to finish him.
Oh, come on. Shit, bye.
That's it.
Excellent.
Just cut there.
But, oh, yeah, I want that. Oh. God, that there.
Did,
that there.
Did we forget to tell Alex, did we?
Alex? We're not going to do the wine tasting today. And we completely forgot to tell you. So you've turned up in your Sunday finery. We're all just in normal clothes.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.